Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL Family.
And I'm Az from FPL Black Box.
As game week 24 was our last standard 10-match game week, for a couple of weeks now, as we head into the double game week and the blank, it was the one where Haaland refound his scoring boots, where Son immediately returned on his way back from the Asian Cup and Saka punished all of those managers that had sold him over the recent weeks. How was game week 24 for you?
Well, all these players returning back to like goal scoring ways, and I finally remembered how to get some green arrows.
Hurrah! Sam,
I've had a couple in a row now. I've like more than half my rank over the last few weeks. And yeah, I'm feeling quietly optimistic about the game weeks coming, although there's a couple of players who are worrying me a bit because I just don't think I'm going to be able to get them. But we'll talk about those a bit later.
That's quite difficult, isn't it? When you know that, you know, you've had a good week, you look at the next one and go, oh, I think I'm missing one of the key assets from that week and I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get them. I had my first green arrow for six long weeks. It has been a real struggle the last 6 weeks. And they haven't all been huge red arrows. They've been quite small, most of them. But they've taken me from 55K right back out to 238K. This one was a really nice big green arrow that's brought me back into 153K. So it feels like a move in the right direction. Now, like you say, it's going to be making the right choices going into the double and eventually into the blank, so that we kind of can keep that momentum going. Because I feel like once you get a green, then it's momentum building, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a really interesting period because we don't often, obviously we have double game weeks and blank game weeks, you know, as standard kind of each year. But I can't remember too many times when we've had like a big double game week like this with big teams, but then suddenly that goes straight into a blank game week with Liverpool blanking. So you've got to kind of find the balance between not wanting to overload your team too much with these assets, because obviously Spurs don't have the game and Chelsea don't have the game as well. And then you don't want to get through this game week and have a good week and then look at your team next week and suddenly have three players.
No, you know, and that's the trouble, isn't it? I think that, you know, you have this moment, don't you, where you look at your team and you go, okay, I really want to heavily invest in Liverpool because they've got this really nice double. But then I'm looking at my team for 26 with some Spurs assets and some Chelsea assets and some Luton assets and thinking, well, look, the more heavily I invest in Liverpool, the more complicated I'm making game week 26 to navigate. So there's that kind of real fine balancing act, isn't there, between where do I go with my team in 25, building upon what's happened in 24 and the players that did well. And then how do I make sure that I'm also thinking ahead to 26 at the same time? Because like you say, you don't want to open the app on Saturday morning post deadline and go, okay, now my team is looking absolute mess going into the next week.
And I think we're going to see some wild cards played, some free hits played in 26. People do exactly what we say, open the app and go, oh no, I've got no one left. I better play a chip. And I think we want to try and avoid that if we can.
Yeah, exactly. How many points did you end up with at game week 24?
83 points for me with a -4. I brought in Haaland, had to go for that. And obviously gave him the captaincy armband. Which was nice. Always nice, you know. The common trope in FPL is don't back the early kickoff. But it is nice when you do back a player in the early kickoff and they get you the points straight away. You feel like you can kind of relax.
For sure. I mean, I nearly panicked though, to be honest, when it got to 70 odd minutes and they'd not had a shot. And I was thinking, this is why I hate captaining someone in the early kickoff, because it does stress me out thinking, oh, the rest of the game week. But yeah, I ended up with 91. Obviously, also took a -4 as well. Also captained Haaland. I very, very nearly gave it to Jota. And in the end, it was the right thing to do to leave it with Haaland. I mean, actually, the right thing to do would have been for me to have given it to Saka, but I was never really close to that. Mm. It was always between Jota and Haaland for me. So let's talk about game week 24 in more detail then. Shall we start with that Manchester City game? Because it kind of feels probably one of the most important ones, given that Manchester City are one of the four teams that double in 25 as well. What did you make of City in this one?
Interesting game, because obviously we saw the lineups and we saw some big names missing. You know, KDB was obviously benched. I had him in my team. Walker as well, benched again. I think that's the second in three games that he's been benched for. And in the first half, they just really struggled. Like you mentioned, 71 minutes for them to take a shot in that game. I think that's either the second or third longest in Pep's reign that it's taken for them to have a shot. So Everton obviously went with a game plan, played really well. I thought created a couple of chances of their own and could have nicked one, you know, quite early. But, you know, when you've got a player like DCL, just hasn't really got the form at the moment. 18 games now without a goal for Calvert-Lewin. And then I think as soon as De Bruyne came on and they made some changes and Walker came on as well, they got a bit more width down the right. kind of felt it was inevitable and the goal was coming. Yeah, and then Haaland obviously getting the two goals. But yeah, it was a frustrating game with someone like me with three attacking assets in that match to watch 71 minutes without a shot, kind of thinking it's going to be a bit of a disaster, but good in the end.
Yeah, and as a KDB owner, I was kind of frustrated when that game team sheet came out because I was thinking, oh, I sort of wasn't surprised in some ways, given that we've got obviously Man City involved in Champions League football in midweek this week and then the double, and he's on his return back from a serious injury. So I wasn't surprised to see the benching. But nonetheless, as an FPL manager, I do think that you get frustrated easily, don't you, by benchings, particularly when you're spending that level of your FPL budget on a player. You want to see them on the starting team sheet every time. But having said all of that, I think when it's somebody like KDB, it was always likely that he was going to come off the bench because Pep needs him to get that rhythm back into his game, those minutes in his legs. And when you've got somebody like KDB coming off the bench for 20 minutes against a tiring side, that always felt like even if that was all he got, that there was an opportunity there for him to do something. Actually, he came on 57, so got the majority of the second half and obviously had that impact. And that ball through to Haaland, it made Haaland such a better asset, yeah, didn't it, when KDB came on? Because the passes that he was putting through to Haaland just, it opened up the game. It made them far more threatening in the way that they were attacking. And I think, you know, Everton really struggled to then deal with KDB and Haaland and their link-ups together.
I think in some ways it was almost a good thing that he was benched for the double game week kind of on the horizon, because I think they realised how important he is really to get that link up with Haaland and how much they miss that. I mean, obviously they played majority of the season without him, but there has been games where they have struggled in a similar way. And now they've got him back, I just think Pep is going to be maybe a bit less reluctant to kind of use him in the sense. So I'm actually hoping for two starts in the double now. And maybe before I was thinking maybe he gets, one and then misses the other. But we'll see what happens in the Champions League. But I'm more confident now of two starts of the double than I was going into this week.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. In my head, I was thinking one start and one bench appearance across the double, and I'd be quite happy with that from a KDB perspective. Having had the benching this time around, I'm now looking at that thinking, well, I'm expecting a couple of starts from you now and a couple of starts against teams that have been really defensively struggling. And we saw that from Chelsea this week, and we'll talk a little bit more about them later. And Brentford actually defensively were quite good this time around, but haven't been over the recent week. So two home fixtures for KDB with that kind of link-up play with him and Haaland. If they can recreate that again in this double game week, I can only see positive things from him. When it comes to the Manchester City defence, any interest in investing there? I know that you're already trebled up, but if you weren't, was there anyone that stood out? Because obviously Kyle Walker with yet another benching this time around. Again, though, like KDB made such a difference when he came on.
Yeah, I mean, Walker was supposed to be the safe pick, wasn't he? I mean, going into game week 22, he'd started every match for Man City. And I thought he looked a really good pick for the double. But, you know, they've proven they can win without him. They did look better when he came on. And I'd still expect him to start both games. But now there is just a bit of uncertainty around it. Vardiol was the other one. He'd been playing, you know, starting the majority of games. I think he'd only missed one since game week 14. And at 3% ownership, 4.8 million. I thought he looked a good pick. But then obviously gets the surprise benching as well. And I just feel a little bit uncertain around that. So I think if you're going to go for any, you just go for Edison, don't you? He's the only one that I'd probably have certainty that's going to start.
Yeah, I think so. It feels quite difficult now to invest in the defence. And I think when you're looking at a double game week defender from Manchester City, given the way that Manchester City are attack-wise and how many goals that they often score in home fixtures, you want to make sure that if you're having a defender in your team that they are going to start both games and are therefore likely to return those clean sheet points. Because we aren't really seeing huge amounts of attacking returns from the Manchester City defenders. I mean, Ake got one, didn't he, this time around? But it's very difficult to see attacking returns coming out of them because that's not really how they've been playing. Couple that with the fact that there's regular benchings and rotation going on and the clean sheets haven't been sticking. It's difficult. Now, obviously this week they did get the clean sheet. Edison, I think, is the best option if you want to go with a defensive player. And the other good thing, I suppose, about having Edison is that it's another player that you can kind of guarantee to start in game week 26 as well. And if you've got players that don't, you know, if you're invested in a Spurs goalkeeper or the Luton goalkeeper and you're a bit worried about how your goalkeeping situation is going to pan out through blank game week 26, at least with Edison, you would have that security for the next, well, hopefully for the rest of the season with him.
Yeah, I mean, one clean sheet in 12 going into this is the concern. They find a way to concede goals despite putting up really kind of good defensive numbers. And like I said, I think Everton had some decent chances in that match and could easily have nicked one quite early on. And then it's a different game. And it's, you know, it's still a lot of money to pay for a goalkeeper. So I don't know. My instinct is just to avoid the defence. But if you are in the market for a new goalkeeper, Edison's probably the one I'd pick out of the options we've got.
And just a quick word on Everton before we move on. Obviously, they play Crystal Palace up next, who have been really struggling in recent weeks. And actually, I thought Crystal Palace were going to get something out of the game against Chelsea on Monday evening, right until Cole Palmer at the death decided to make two fantastic assists and change the game for Chelsea. From Everton, is there anyone we should really be looking at? Pickford, potentially, maybe, if we're looking for a new goalkeeper again, doesn't have the double, but Crystal Palace are really lacking going forward. Was it not for an absolute worldie? And what a goal it was.
Yeah.
They weren't really looking like they were creating that much otherwise.
No, I mean, I'm not really looking at the attack at all. I just think there's so many good options in midfield and up front that, you know, I'm looking at the options now and looking at, you know, Harrison. I'm looking at Calvert-Lewin with that poor goal scoring run that we mentioned. No one's really kind of standing out to me. I mean, you can look at defence. I mean, Pickford had a good run, didn't he? Where he was kind of keeping clean sheets all the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, apart from a 10-pointer in game week 22, it's a seed of twos and ones, really. It's only really Branthwaite I'd be looking at. I think at 4.2 million, he's that kind of good enabler if you're, you know, looking to bring in your Salahs and your Sons in a few weeks and De Bruyne and all these expensive players, but not too much excitement about their assets for me.
All right, well, let's move on and talk about the As versus Sam game that was Saturday afternoon. Because honestly, this was one of my, not just because it involves Spurs, but it was one of my favourite games of the weekend because it was absolutely bonkers. Mm. Both teams wanting to play out from the back. Both teams wanting to deploy a high press. It was absolute carnage at both ends of the pitch. And what a Premier League game it was. It was so exciting for most of the game. Really, really good game. Go on, I'll let you start. What did you make of it?
It was a great game. It's two teams obviously want to play attacking football and two teams that kind of know each other's styles as well because we play a similar style. And it's kind of like all the things that stress me out about playing out of the back, just all in one game. Yeah, it was really interesting. I mean, you know, we know Brighton have got injuries. You know, João Pedro was the latest one to miss out. Obviously, Hinchelwood might be out for the season. Now, these are big, big misses for us. And, you know, Mitoma coming back was huge. And obviously, congratulations to Odingra as well, who's just won the AFCON with Ivory Coast. He'll be coming back too. But, you know, we missed him and we missed kind of other players. Opposite of Spurs, you seem to have all your players back.
Thank goodness.
Now, and you know, you've got a strong centre-back partnership. You had Son coming off the bench. You know, Madison's back in the team with Charleston scoring goals. So I was really disappointed that we conceded so late because I think getting a point at Spurs would have been an amazing result given where we were. But yeah, I think it was coming and I'm not too surprised that we lost, but yeah, still hurt.
It was a really fascinating game. And from an FPL perspective, I thought it was really interesting as well, because obviously nothing for Richarlison in this one, who has been in such fantastic form. And actually what I've noticed in recent weeks with him is he's become a lot more creative across that Spurs team. He's been dropping a bit deeper, working harder, actually. And I think that's been so important, particularly whilst we've been without the creative players in Madison and in Son. Richarlison's really stepped up and kind of taken that responsibility on. And he continued to do that, even with Madison and Son back in the team at the weekend. So moving forward for Spurs, things are looking much, much better without the injury crisis that we've been having in recent weeks, with players being away on international duty as well. You know, we had a number of our assets going away and key assets in Son, in Pape Sarr, in Bissouma. Like, these are players that we rely on week upon week to secure the defence, your Pape Sarr and Bissouma, and to lead the attack. So from a Spurs perspective, I think it is looking promising. Of course, we have to bear in mind that Spurs do blank in game week 26. So any further investment is probably not likely for most managers unless you're planning a free hit in 26. Until game week 27. But actually, from game week 27 onwards, Spurs fixtures are nice.
Yeah, they are.
I guess for me, the question hangs over Pedro Porro, because I have been a huge advocate of Pedro Porro's in FPL for a number of weeks now. He's been important in terms of creation while Maddison hasn't been there. And he stayed on corners even since Maddison has returned. We had 9 of them in this game and he took 4 of them. So he's still doing that creative work. I think the issue I have is that in this game, he failed to have a shot on goal. He didn't register a key pass or a touch in the penalty box. And towards the back end of the game, he did seem to tire quite a lot and he wasn't running the length of the pitch in the way that we have been seeing now. Of course, that in part might be because he has played pretty much every minute of every game over this really hectic period because we haven't had anyone to replace him. And I do think that we kind of need to be looking at him now and going, all right, this is the 3rd match in a row that you haven't returned. So what are we doing with you now? Are you an asset that we can sell? Because obviously that would create one less issue going into game week 26. But it is a nice home fixture against Wolves, on paper anyway, although Wolves have been fantastic in recent weeks. I'm not sure what I'm going to do about Pedro Porro. I do think if he gets sold for me in the coming weeks, he's probably a player that I will be looking to reinvest in a few weeks down the line because Spurs fixtures turn for the better and then obviously the blank is done. And at some stage, that Spurs and Chelsea fixture will need to be rescheduled. So there will be a double coming up. But maybe there's an opportunity to move around that Spurs investment because on the other side, it's been Udogie that's been getting the attacking returns in recent weeks.
Yeah, I mean, anyone that watches Black Box knows that I've got Pedro Porro on my back wall because he was such a good asset for me, you know, towards the end of last season. I sold him going into this week. I moved for Doty, yep. Who we're going to talk about in a bit. And I think really this is probably the time to move on from Pedro. I think with Maddison back, I just think he's going to eat into those set pieces. I think we've all been waiting for that really big point haul from Porro that we know he's got in him. You know, we've seen
it in
the
FA Cup.
I know, sitting in the cup, you know, smashes in the goal. We've been hopeful that with Van de Ven and Romero back, that there's going to be a clean sheet. So you're looking at, you know, 15 to 20 pointer, hopefully. But I'm just struggling to kind of see it at the moment. And I think with Wolves, I think they were unlucky not to score in their last game. And then the blank in 26. And I'm looking at defenders and thinking, you know, there's some decent defenders out there. You know, they've got Doty, you've got Trippier, you've got the Arsenal defence that just looks so strong as well. So I just think unless you're playing 4 at the back, then I don't really see where Porro fits in anymore. I mean, he's not a bad asset. Don't get me wrong. I think you can keep him, you know, if you believe in him. I'm just looking at players who are like 30% owned and thinking, you know, maybe I can just pivot away from that and try and catch a haul somewhere else.
Yeah, and I totally get that. I think coming back after the blank in 26, probably I'll be looking to bring back a Spurs defender at that point, or maybe not, because as we've been talking about, the Spurs fixtures are really nice and you maybe want to look at a Richarlison, a Maddison and a Son, or maybe you want to look at, you know, going for just the attacking assets rather than the defence, or switching it up and going for Udogie, or even having a little look at the goalkeeper in Vicario, because the save points that he creates are really nice as well. And he's always up there in the underlying bonus points because he's so involved in the way that Spurs play. So he's got potential as well. So maybe a change up is on the cards for the way that you invest in Spurs. And like you say, there are players, particularly if you look at Manchester City. And I know that we've been talking about how we're not so sure about their defence because it's difficult to know who's going to start. But they obviously play in game week 26. So it removes one of the issues if you go there and gives you a potential doubling asset. Or maybe even have a look at Reguilón, who, you know, the Brentford fixtures aren't great in the double game week. That there is no doubt about that. However, they also play in game week 29, so it's one less issue for you moving down the line. And Reguilón has been very attacking. We saw that. So there is potential there to kind of change up the way that you're investing in the defence. Take a little bit of a chance by selling one of the more heavily owned players and investing in a bit more of a differential, because there's no reason why you can't reverse that decision after the blank game week if you so choose.
Yeah, and I think like you mentioned with Udogie as well. I mean, even if you sell Porro and you've got a lot of money tied up in him and you struggle to get him back, if you want to tap back into the Spurs defence, I think you go for Udogie, right? I mean, I'm a bit angry with Udogie still after playing him for his -4 against Chelsea. But whenever I watch Spurs play, he gets so far forward. He plays as almost like a striker at times. So again, I'm looking at a player who I think is more likely to haul. And actually, I think Udogie might be the one who's got a another double digit. He got a 10 pointer in game week 22. I think there could be another one on the cards for him. But Yeah, I think with the doubles, moving away from Spurs defence now is the play, personally. And like you say, moving for a Son, maybe De Bruyne to Son in a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm tripled up on that attack, maybe moving away from that frees up a bit of money as well, lets me do some other things with the team.
All right, well, let's move from one side of North London to the other, and a very, very impressive Arsenal performance and some absolutely massive hauls from the Arsenal defenders. So as a Saliba owner and a Spurs fan, I was driving when that Saliba goal went in, and I said to Lee, oh, I think there might have been a goal in the Arsenal game. And he was like, oh, hang on. So he looks on his phone and he's like, oh, it's Saliba. And it's the only time maybe ever I've been like, yes, and then realised that I was like, ooh, this is an Arsenal goal. What am I doing? Like, and then I was like, oh, this is a disaster. Like, it was where PL and FPL kind of messed with my brain. Because you don't normally see the attacking returns for Saliba in the same way that we do for Gabriel. So at one point I was thinking, this is great because I could have a Saliba clean sheet and a Saliba goal. And that's a massive win over the Gabriel owners. Now, as it happens, Gabriel then went and scored his own goal.
Unbelievable.
I know, right? To level it up. But what an impressive performance it was from Arsenal. And I think if you don't have an Arsenal defender, and a lot of managers bench their Arsenal defenders this week, you need one.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned the defensive assets we've got. I mean, you know, a lot of people still having Trent, for example, going into the double and had held him. Trippier has obviously been ticking along. Doughty was highly bought. And, you know, you're trying to find a slot for someone. And I could understand, I looked at people's teams, you know, around in mini leagues, and I saw some that had benched both of them.
Yeah.
You know, Saliba and Gabriel benching. That is hard to take. But yeah, it seems that after spending sort of half the season maybe not really getting the balls into the areas where the defenders can attack it, they've now realised that they you know where to put the ball, and they look so dangerous from set pieces.
They did.
They really, really do. And defensive numbers are great. You know, obviously Rice has come in and just improved that team so much. So, you know, and they're still, I mean, Gabriel's still, what, 5 million?
Yeah.
Something cheap. Like that. Yeah. I mean, it's a tricky one this week. I mean, if you haven't got one, for example, do you move for one this week, given the double game week and things?
But it's Burnley. And this is the thing. I think we often, as FPL managers, get double game week fever. Mm. We all just go, okay, here are my double game week blinkers that I'm wearing, and I cannot look at anybody else other than these four teams that have got doubles. And the problem with doing that is that often there's a couple of teams that just sit in the peripheral vision who have got a fantastic fixture in the double game week, but just the one. And we've seen from Arsenal this weekend that they can return massive hauls in 15 minutes because, you know, those goals coming in 15 minutes was just, well, it was an absolute collapse from West Ham, wasn't it, at the end of that first half. So if Arsenal are capable of doing that against a West Ham side that haven't been terrible this season, no. In fact, they've actually been having a good season, West Ham. I nearly was one of those players that benched Saliba. It was a straight toss up between Saliba and Estupiñán because I didn't think either of them would get a clean sheet. But Estupiñán has more attacking threat. And in the end, I was like, Estupiñán's playing Spurs. We've got the potential to score lots of goals.
Yeah.
Because I thought that might be high scoring and therefore he might get some minus numbers from that. Whereas I thought with Saliba, it was unlikely that West Ham were going to score 3, 4, 5 goals. Mm. So I ended up playing Saliba and benching Estupiñán, which was the right thing. But yeah, this Arsenal game, as a Saliba and Saka owner, obviously, my points returns out of this were good, but Rice with the 17-pointer, the highest scoring player across the game week for him this time around, he was exceptional. And I think, you know, when you look at Saka, 8 attempts on goal, more than anyone else this game week, 3 big chances, more than anyone else this game week. 3 or 4 weeks ago, managers were saying, is it time to sell Saka? We're not seeing the consistency of returns. Yeah. All of a sudden, that whole narrative is reversed and we are having managers now looking at, well, how do I get Saka back in? And when you're prioritising Manchester City and Liverpool because of the double, there will be a lot of managers that are struggling to get Saka. But with this game against Burnley and a fixture in game week 26, I think Saka has to be a priority if you don't have him.
Yeah, I mean, last time I was on the pods, there was a big question around, yeah, should we sell Saka? You know, is it time to move on from him? And you know, I had a look at the underlying stats and I was amazed that the underlying stats were just as good this season as they were last season. So for me, I was like, well, that's it. He's not going anywhere. I'm going to back him to start returning. I mean, 100 goals involvements for Arsenal.
Madness.
At 22 and his 50th Premier League goal. is just absolutely incredible. He's just such an amazing talent on penalties, playing for one of the best sides in the league. It's Burnley next, like you mentioned. I mean, I had some kind of thoughts about maybe selling him for Jota, but I just don't think I can do that. No. You know, I'm just going to want him back straight away, and especially as Liverpool don't have the game in 26 as well. So yeah, I won't be doing that too. Just quickly on the Arsenal defence as well, and kind of set pieces. You would think with Kompany in charge, Burnley would be good at defending set pieces. Yeah. They're not. They are the second worst team in terms of chances created from set pieces of all clubs. So again, if you're listening to this, you're thinking about benching your Gabriels and your Salibas, again, I would strongly advise to reconsider, because I can see another goal from a set piece coming, and one of those two being involved.
For sure. And I think from a West Ham perspective, obviously, if you played Areola this week, it was a difficult week. I guess going into the next week, they've got Nottingham Forest. It's an away fixture. It's not the best fixture coming out of a big defeat like this, because Nottingham Forest at home are very difficult to Nottingham Forest away from home over the course of the season. So as a West Ham, as an Areola owner, I kind of look at that and go, well, would I play him this week? I mean, I have also got Martinez as my other goalkeeper, so I could play him against Fulham. But a lot of managers will find themselves with just Areola, and I don't think it's the end of the world to play him this time around. I wouldn't expect them to get absolutely trounced in the same way that they did against Arsenal. But I think if you've got a Jared Bowen or a Kudos in your team, then there's more of a question mark hanging over their heads, because even though the fixture is nice, you have to look at, as you've just said, the other players that you could have in that midfielder slot. So the Jotters, the Luis Diazes, the Phil Fodens, players that aren't at a dissimilar price point to Jared Bowen, but play twice. You could even take a look at Spurs if you didn't want to go for one of those double game week players, but of course they blank as well. So, you know, when you're looking at it, I think I would find Jared Bowen and the West Ham attack is quite a difficult hold right now, given the form that they're in, but also given the fixtures that other teams have around them for a similar sort of price.
They are a very funny team, because you know, they lost 5-0 to Fulham back in game week 16, and then went on an amazing run. They beat Wolves at home, who were playing really well at the time, 3-0. Yep. I think it was the first time Wolves hadn't scored since game week 1 or something ridiculous. Then they go on to beat Manchester United. Then they beat Arsenal. And then since then, it's, you know, it's three draws in a row, one of them being Sheffield United, who you'd expect them to beat.
Yeah,
they get thrashed by Man United, really, 3-0, and then absolutely annihilated by Arsenal.
At home home game.
Exactly. It's the worst home result they've ever had, that 6-0 to Arsenal. So I'm looking at that and thinking, okay, you know, there's assets in there that I like. Obviously, I like Kudus, I like Bowen, but I just don't trust this side. You know, they could rock up to a game and lose 2 or 3 nil, and their assets are, you know, barely involved. Whereas there's so many midfielders that I want. I just don't see Bowen being in the top sort of 6 or 7 midfielders that I'd consider.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, you could go for some of the cheaper options. You know, you could go for one of the Brentford midfielders if you want. You go for one of the Luton midfielders and have the double game weekers. And I think that's the other thing, is that heading into this week, if you're talking about that kind of final midfielder slot, the one that you're happy to move around, then there's no reason why you couldn't invest in someone for this week and then take them out heading into next week. You don't necessarily need them, you know, bring them in for 25 and then hold them for the next 6 weeks. You could bring in someone for 25, sell them ahead of 26 and move forward with somebody different. So Bowen feels difficult. I mean, the problem that they've got is they just don't have a striker at the moment. So playing Bowen up top, that's not where he ideally wants to be. There's been a lack of surface. They're really, really missing Paqueta way that you can't even begin to comprehend that one player's absence could be that difficult for them.
It's no real coincidence that around the time Paqueta got injured, that's the time when this run of really poor results started. You know, he played in the Wolves and the Manchester United game as well. Okay, fair enough. He did play 30 minutes in the Arsenal match, but then he missed out, and that's when the results really started tanking.
Yeah.
So yeah, and you know, Phillips was kind of brought in maybe to be a kind of a Rice light, or to add a bit of, you know, attack kind of impetus, but that hasn't really worked out, and now he's been benched twice after a couple of mistakes. So yeah, they're just a team in a bit of transition. And I look at Bowen, I look at his price point, I think he's 7-8, and I think there's so many ways you can move. You can move up to Jota, you know, just for a bit more, or if you don't have any money, you could move to Diaz, for example. You can move to Foden, if you don't have him. Or like you say, you take a punt on a Brentford player or a Luton, you know, go down to Barkley and free up some money. There's just so many
Jensen, players. Somebody like that for Brentford.
Yeah, there's just so many players that I'd rather own. And you can do a lot with that cash. I think for 8 million, he's a bit too pricey for me.
Yeah, I agree. Talking about surprising results, let's move on to talk about Luton, because I did not see this coming.
Bring in Doty, thinking this is a home banker. This is This is going to be a nice, comfortable 1-0 win. You know, he'll put in a load of crosses. I'll get some bonus points out of him. And Sheffield United come out of the traps and look absolutely brilliant.
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Because the whole of the FPL community, feels like all we've done for the last week is talk about Luton assets, talk about Doty, talk about Barkley, talk about Kaminsky. Like, just, it's been constant Luton chatter because, of course, was a nice fixture, a great fixture for them this week against Sheffield United, and then the double game week.
Yeah.
So we were all like, right, okay, now we were right about Doty. He was top for touches in the final third. He was top for crosses across the game week. He created 9 chances, which was top. He did every single thing right, apart from register any returns for us in FPL, which is infuriating. What's interesting, though, is those 9 chances that he created, not a single one of them was a big chance, which, you know, and we should be considering that, of course, because if you don't want to be creating terrible chances for your teammates, you do want to make sure that you're creating decent opportunities for them to return. And maybe this is the first time that we've seen the chances that he's created not being as good as they have been in previous weeks. As a Doty owner now, I mean, I sold Livramento for him, who was going to cause me issues moving forward anyway, because he's not been starting. So with Doty, I feel like I've done the right thing by having him for the double game week. But I was so disappointed with what happened in that game. And I think there will be a lot of managers out there that took hits like I did. The -4 was for him, that didn't see a return. And now we're going to be hoping for returns across what's not the best double game week ever.
No, it's really not. And I think that was part of the thinking of bringing him in was to kind of bank some points in the Sheffield United match and then, you know, just take what you can get from this double, because it doesn't look great. Yeah, I was disappointed. I mean, it's the trouble when you've got a player putting in lots of crosses, you obviously need the strikers to convert. And they've been doing that because they've got 8 goals in 2 matches before this. But, you know, it is Luton, and you know, they haven't been scoring huge numbers of goals kind of all season. They haven't been doing badly, but, you know, it's a lot to ask, you know, someone like Adebayo or Morris to convert all these crosses that Doty's putting in. And like you say, if the quality of those chances is a bit lower than what we normally see, they might struggle. But I still just really like him kind of going forward anyway. Once you get past the blank, I just think at 4.6 million where he is now, he's a nice player just to have and bring in kind of and as and when you need him. I think we're going to look at this one as a bit of anomaly. Luton typically are good at home.
They right? are.
That's where they have been picking up most of their points. I just wasn't expecting this game at all. So I think, you know, I'll still be looking to play Doty in home matches too. And you mentioned about the double. Actually, only West Ham and Sheffield United have conceded more chances down the right side than Manchester United in that first game. So they're going to be looking to get Doty down that side, putting in balls, creating chances. And I can see him getting something in that match.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that there's going to be any clean sheets across this double game week. But that doesn't mean that for somebody like Doty, that there can't be some attacking returns. You know, we've seen that 23 crosses in this game week. The next best across the game week was 14. So substantially more crosses being supplied by him than anyone else across the game week altogether. And I think, you know, when you look at this performance, I think you're right. It has to be seen as a bit of an anomaly. Interestingly, Bell with 2 bonus points because of all of the underlying numbers come from nowhere, didn't it? You know, he beat out Morris, who got the goal, and Adebayo, who got the assist, to pick up those 2 bonus points. And as a Doty owner, again, I was a little bit frustrated by that because I was thinking, like he's doing all the creative work, he's doing the right stuff, but no bonus points, no reward for it. But you're right. I mean, at 4.6 million, and with a future double game week already penned in for game week 28, you know that you've got the fixtures moving forward to hold him. You can absolutely bench him during the blank game week in 26, and you can keep him on the bench if you want to through 27. Obviously, you're going to want to play him in 28. But I think he's one of those players that you feasibly can hold in that fifth or fourth defender slot comfortably till the end of the season, because you know that there's going to be creativity from him. You know that he's going to get the starts. And I think, you know, over the coming weeks, obviously, teams like Luton, like Sheffield United, they need to pick up points because they need to secure their Premier League status for the new season. So investing in teams like that who have got double game weeks feels like still the right thing to do, even after this very strange result.
Yeah, I mean, Bell's 3.9. So he's someone to consider. You know, he's right down the lower end of price. But you look at this double, you look at even the fixtures going forward, you know, Aston Villa in 27, Palace in 28, Bournemouth as well, because they've got the obviously another double in 28 too, and then Forest in 29. It's not an awful run. It's just, where does Bell fit in as a kind of 3.9 asset with no real attacking returns and playing for a defence where you don't fully trust them? But if you can't get Doherty, then Bell's maybe a decent-ish pick as well.
Right, well, let's move on to one of the other doubling sides in Brentford. They obviously had what looked on paper to be an incredibly difficult fixture against a Wolves side that have been brilliant. And this was another result that kind of came and really surprised me because Brentford defensively haven't been great. They've not been keeping clean sheets. They've been good in attack. The more pie Tony combination has been working really successfully for them since Tony's return. But defensively, they've been at sea. And so I hadn't really been looking at Brentford for the double because I didn't really want to change out my forward line for Tony. Mm. But this performance did pique my interest and it has made me kind of go, okay, maybe there's some potential here, particularly given they don't blank in 26 and they don't blank in game week 29 either. So they've got a great run of fixtures where you guarantee they're going to start. So they remove some of the issues that you might have elsewhere in your team.
I've been really impressed with Tony since he's come back. I think we kind of wondered how it's going to go when a player's been out for kind of a long period. Did they need a bit of time to readapt and get back into it? Absolutely not. You know, 3 goals and an assist in 4 games, you know, which is an incredible return. And he's someone that I was looking to give a bit of time, but now I'm thinking, do you know what? I might just take a bit of a punt on you because you're still flying under the radar a little bit. The double isn't that great. I think we're just putting a few people off. Obviously, like Watkins has been in great form. Solanke, people are reluctant to sell. So he's quite high on my radar. Interesting, since Tony's been back, no team in the league has had fewer goal attempts than Brentford with 38. Okay, one of those games was City, which obviously is about as tough as it gets. What I did think was interesting was 15 of those 38 chances have been big chances, which is second highest in the league. So fewest kind of goal attempts, but also creating quite high quality chances. We talked about Doherty earlier being the kind of reverse of that. Lots of crosses, not that high. It's like they found a way to create, you know, Tony's back in the team and it's like, well, we're not going to, we've got the system back now. We're going to get good quality balls to him and we know that he's capable of finishing and scoring and doing things with it. So I just think, you know, you're looking at a kind of system team and assistant player, he's so vital to that club, and I think he's a really good asset going forward, so I'm really interested.
I must admit I am really struggling to work out what to do about Darwin Nunez, and we'll talk about Liverpool in a moment, but he's really hard to know what to do with because if I bring him in I'm creating problems for game week 26. I'm guaranteeing myself a hit heading into game week 26 to take him back out. With Tony I get the double, a two-game player, an important two-game player for his team. If anything, more important for his team than Darwin is for Liverpool, because in that Liverpool squad, there are Jota and Darwin and Diaz and maybe Salah, and there's other players that could be involved in the attacking returns. Whereas when I look at Brentford, it feels very much like, well, Tony's going to be part of any goals that are scored. Yes, Maupay might get some. Yes, you know, Yana or Jensen might get some. But fundamentally, if I was going to, you know, pick out a player from one team, I find it much more difficult to pick from Liverpool who it's going to be that's involved in the goals. Whereas at Brentford, it would immediately be Tony that I would kind of go to, and has the double and doesn't blank in 26. So yes, the double's not great, but these are not defences that are keeping regular clean sheets. We talked about this earlier with Manchester City and with Liverpool to some extent. Liverpool are struggling defensively in terms of personnel. We don't know whether Trent's going to be available. We don't know what's happening with Bradley at the moment. Like, there's a lot of unknowns about that Liverpool defence. I mean, last weekend, obviously, they were without Alisson and Gomez. We assume that was because Alisson also had the flu. We knew that Gomez had it, and we knew there'd been an outbreak in the Liverpool team. But it's much more difficult to kind of call who's going to play in that Liverpool defence. And they've not been regularly returning those clean sheets. So could we have a situation where actually Tony returns against both Manchester City and Liverpool in the double? Potentially, yes. Mm. Because as you say, the chances that he's getting, they're big chances, they're good chances. So he might not get loads across that double game week, but the ones he does get will be good quality ones. And with the form that he's in coming back from his suspension, I'd bank on him returning those chances.
Mm, it's a very interesting one because you look at Man City and Liverpool for this double game week and you think, okay, the ceiling for these players is really, really high, because Liverpool with Brentford and Luton, I mean, that's a great double game week. You know, these teams haven't been keeping clean sheets, and there's great options. You mentioned Darwin, we talked about Jota, you know, even looking at someone like Van Dijk or someone in defence who you can pop up with a headed goal. Look at Man City, two home fixtures, you know, they're all their players being back. Foden just scored a hat trick, De Bruyne off the bench. Like, these are all the ones where I just think, okay, the sky's the limit for these players. And I look at Tony and I think, what's the best case scenario we're going to get with him? A goal in each?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, you'd be happy with that. I mean, that's still a decent return. You know, we had a couple of bolus onto that as well. You're probably looking at a 16, 17 pointer, which would be amazing. And then I don't think that's beyond the realms of possibility at all for him.
No.
And then I look at West Ham in 26, I look at Chelsea in 27, and I think this isn't just a fling. This is someone who we can keep for a prolonged period as well. And you mentioned about selling Nunes. I'm actually looking at selling Watkins.
Interesting.
This week.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got Solanke at the moment, and I obviously want to hold Solanke for 27. But when I'm looking at game week 26, Solanke's playing against Manchester City. Mm. So I don't love that. So I might end up in a situation where I sell Solanke this week, bring in Tony and have Tony there because he's got a nice fixture, as you say, in game week 26 as well, against a West Ham side that are all at sea defensively. And then I can have him still. And then what I can do by the time I get to game week 27 is look at that front line of Haaland, Tony and Watkins and go, okay, well, who do I want to sell to bring back Dominic Solanke for the three newly promoted clubs in two game weeks that we're going to see in 27 and 28? And there's an opportunity then to go, well, how's Watkins performing? How's Tony performing? And which one of the two of them do I prefer to hold? And maybe that's a more sensible strategy than going for Darwin Nunes, who I absolutely agree, and we'll talk about him just a second, has a greater ceiling potential than Tony. Mm. But if you combine the blank and the double game week so that Tony's got three fixtures, whereas Darwin has got two, and there's a potential hit needed to take Darwin out again for 26, then the difference between the two of them starts to get smaller and smaller in terms of what they might return across this week.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, Darwin, my rank, you know, kind of, I mean, I'm doing better now, but when I was down in the kind of the millions, every week I was looking to Darwin Nunes to be like, look, you know, we call you chaos. Like, we all know your numbers are good. Just hit me a hat trick, please. I've had you for so long. And I still hold out that hope in this double game week that, you know, in one of these games, he's just going to hit that big haul. I mean, look at that game when he hit the post four times. I mean,
yeah.
You know, he converts those and, you know, he's looking at a 20, 25 pointer. But yeah, it kind of feels like we're always saying that. What if? But I still have hope. I still have hope in Darwin that in this double game week, he's going to reward us patient owners. So he wouldn't be going anywhere for me.
Well, okay, well, let's talk about Liverpool, because we're different in terms of how we're invested, because you've obviously got the chaos that is Darwin. I've got Jota.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Darwin thinking, oh, I really think that this is a problem that I don't have you for this double game week. I suspect that you're looking at Jota going, I really would like to have you for the double.
Jota is giving me sleepless nights because there's just no way I can get him. I mean, the only way I can get him is if I sell Saka, because I have no money. I have no money in the bank at all. And all my money's tied up in De Bruyne, really.
Yeah, mine too.
Because he's so pricey. And I think that is the limit of having him. Maybe because you can get in the three Liverpool assets quite easily. And I really like that double gaming for them. And I look at Jota, it's another goal he's just scored. The only thing is, I mean, Salah is back in kind of light training. And I think the key thing with Liverpool, other than Man City, is Liverpool obviously have this cup final.
Yeah.
You know, straight after that Luton game. So there's a part of me that thinks, well, maybe we might see a few early subs. Maybe there'll be a surprise benching, you know, before that cup final. I mean, this is just hopeful, really. Maybe we see Jota come off at 60 minutes or something. I don't know. Probably more likely to be Darwin that comes off. I think I'm just going to have to brave it without him and hope, really, that, you know, De Bruyne and Darwin, who I don't think everyone's going to own those two, they're the ones that can kind of come in the points. But you know, if Jota comes in with a, you know, a hat trick in one of those games, it's going to be
I hope he does.
Be a disaster, really.
It's hard though with Liverpool, isn't it? Because any other point of the season, I'd absolutely treble up on Liverpool right now. There wouldn't have been a question in my mind about the treble up on Liverpool. I would have made sure that I had both Jota and Darwin. And then I'd have had to think very carefully about who the third one might be, whether it might be a Luis Diaz, who was the probably the most impressive Liverpool player actually this week in terms of his XG. He was second across the game to Saka. Or whether it would be a defender, but with Trent's injury, with Conor Bradley having been out for personal reasons over the last few weeks, with the uncertainty around the guys that have had the flu, with Van Dijk having made a couple of mistakes. It's felt a bit difficult in terms of how you would invest in that Liverpool defence. And they've only kept two clean sheets in the last 8 weeks. So it's not exactly been, you know, points for the Liverpool defenders in recent weeks. So I'm looking at my team with just Jota and thinking, is that enough?
Yeah.
Is that enough to just go into this? Because there's going to be managers out there that are trebled up on Liverpool with a plan for a free hit probably in 26 or a big hit to take some of them out again. Salah, we're not seeing on the grass yet. We're seeing a lot of gym work from Salah, but we're not yet seeing him out there, you know, joining training with the rest of his team. And as you mentioned, the League Cup final feels really important, particularly in Klopp's final season. He's going to want to win stuff this season. And I think he'll see this as a really good opportunity against the Chelsea side that have been poor defensively so far this season to go and secure a first trophy. There might be some rotation. We might see some minutes from Salah because he'll want to give him some minutes back in. If he's going to be available for the League Cup final, you'd expect to see a few minutes from Salah over the Game Week 25 fixtures. But we'll have to see what Klopp's got to say in his press conferences. I was impressed by Liverpool in this one to a certain extent, because I actually thought that Burnley were quite unlucky not to return more goals than they did. Liverpool defensively went a bit to sea, particularly later on in that game. Moving forward, looking great in attack, the Darwin, the Jotters, the DSs, whoever you want, they all look like good options. Just be careful how many you invest in, because on paper, it looks like the right thing to do to just go, here we go, I'm all aboard Liverpool. But what does it mean moving forward?
Well, I'm jealous of those, you know, playing free hits this week, because, you know, say you've only got one Liverpool asset and you're thinking of free hitting, bringing a couple of City, a couple of Liverpool, a couple of Luton. The free hit this week is an option because you can attack it and get in those players, then not have to worry about 26, presuming you've got an 11 that you can get out in that week. So we're going to see some free hit teams. We're going to be jealous of them because they're going to look really good. It's just hard to know kind of who to get. I mean, we mentioned the attackers, but in defence, as well. I mean, we've got Tsimikas, he returned back. So does that cause some more kind of rotation at left back? Robertson's obviously back. Gomez has been playing there as well. On the right, you know, Bradley, does he come back into the side? Does Gomez switch over to the right? Canate's back with Van Dijk, but Konsa has been playing well at centre back. So again, you're looking at defensive things. Obviously, Alisson missed out with the flu. I mean, who was expecting that in that game? It's like in that position, it's only really Van Dijk that you can kind of go for. And I think for a lot of us to be getting him, we're going to have to be selling a player who's likely been doing quite well for us, an Arsenal defender, Trippier, for example, because of his price. And I'm not sure that's the best play either, given the 26 the blank. So I think I'm with you in the sense that I want these players, they're exciting, but I don't want to rip my team up for them.
I'm going to be hiding behind the sofa, I think.
Yeah, so I think I'm just going to be going with the one as well, which is going to be Darwin. Yeah. My Darwin, your Jota, and we're going to have to watch.
Maybe we could share their points.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I'd take that.
You can lend me some of your Darwin points. I'll lend you some of my Jota ones.
We're running out of time, but the final game we kind of didn't cover was the Forest-Newcastle match. I don't think many of us are going to be investing or looking to invest into in their assets. I think the biggest surprises for me were that Gordon started. I thought he was out or out for a while, but he seems to be made of some pretty incredible stuff. He keeps starting when we expect it, expecting to miss out. Trippier with another assist, seven game weeks now without a clean sheet. And then from the Forest side, I was impressed by Langer again. That's 11 goal involvements for him. But again, tough to recommend any of their assets with the doubles coming up.
Yeah, definitely. It's hard. I sold Anthony Gordon this week, and when I saw him starting, I was like, oh, Eddie Howe, what have you done to me? And I spent the rest of that game thinking, have I done the wrong thing here? Actually, I hadn't, because I used the Gordon position to bring in Jota, which still feels like it was the right thing to do. And to be honest, I probably would have done that even if Gordon was fit. but nonetheless, it still properly stressed me when I saw him on the team sheet.
Well, Sam, it is going to be a big couple of weeks for FPL managers over the next few. Ahead of double game week 25, Man City do have that Champions League fixture to be played out. We hope hoping for no injuries or anything from that. Kelly Jules and yourself, Sam, will be back on Thursday to look at the best picks from all four of the doubling teams, as well as how many double game weekers to own for this big game week, and how to plan our chips as well, which we touched on this pod.
Yeah, and if you haven't already done so, don't forget to join the FPL Pod League. The code is IB3WLK.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.